right, quick announcement. You need to have your booklets. You need to have your booklets. You have to have a pen and your Bible. Remember your Bible, The Truth Explained. We're going to cover the fourth one. Why do the just suffer? Hey, I hear a lot of talking out there. Need your attention. Let's look up here. We're going to start off with our pledges to the Bible. Do I have a volunteer that would like to come up? All right, come on up here. Here we go. Well, she raises her hand. Nobody else seems to be willing. Okay. Well, we'll let her do it today. And after the break, we'll pick somebody else, okay? Here we go. Let's pledge. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. This hand right here. Remember this hand right here. Here we go. She's always the first one up. She's ready to go, aren't you? Okay, let's pledge to the Bible. If you do not have a Bible in your hand, please look up here. Put your right hand on your heart and let's pledge to the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Very good. High five. Good job. That's kind of heavy, though, isn't it? Yeah, that's heavy. Okay, the pledge to the Christian flag. Same sign, right hand. Look at the flag. Ready? Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior, for his kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. And to the American flag. Ready? Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very good. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, the opportunity to study your word and to hide it within our hearts. Father, I pray that this that we look at today will challenge us in our walk with you, learn to trust you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's open up our booklet to Why Do the Just Suffer? We know that God is not up in heaven looking down and saying, oh, who can I make suffer today? God is not a cosmic killjoy. Do you have a question that's important? You do. Well, it's coming up. Just a second. It's coming up. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Not really, are you? You should be. I'm introducing what we're going to look at today. So it's important. So God is not up in heaven rubbing his hand saying, who can I make suffer today? He's not doing that. We want to consider what God's word has to say. And so we're going to look at why the just suffer. You know, even the just have rain, just like the unjust have rain. God does not deal with us differently because there's a reason for that. And we're going to look at it today. So number one in your sheet there, Adam's sin, and he was the head of the human race. Adam is the one who sinned, and when he sinned, all men have become sinners. So when we're born in this world, we're born in sin because God hates sin. You got a question? What's that? Hey, that doesn't matter right now. Think about this right here. Right here. Fill in that blank. Did you write it in there yet? No, write it in then. Get your booklet and your pencil and write it in the blank. Yes, there is. Number one, Adam's sin, head of the human race. Don't you see that blank filled in? Right here. The answer's right there. I told you twice already when the movie and pizza night is, and you weren't listening. I told you twice. Well, we know what day. April the 29th. It's Thursday.
Look it up on your calendar. So here we go. Answer one, Adam, sin, head of the human race. Letter B, or letter A, the culprit. Who is the culprit in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5? Genesis 3, I'm going to open that up. Genesis chapter 3. First part of your Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Just sit back and be quiet and listen, okay? Listen. Okay, here we go. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the tree, or of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So Satan is coming along, the culprit, and he comes along and he deceives Eve. And this is what Satan does. He asks a question. He questions God's authority. He questions if God has authority, because he comes up and says, "Has God really said this?" In other words, what Satan meant was, God didn't say that. Are you sure that's what God said? And you know, that's the same thing that happens to us when we are tempted. We question authority. We question God. Did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? When God says, "Thou shalt not lie," on Commandment 8, we say, "Did God really say that? Is that really what he meant?" Or God says, "Thou shalt not kill." And man says, "Well, does God really mean that?" Well, abortion is okay, isn't it? But God said, "No, thou shalt not kill." And man questions God, and people question authority. They question those in authority, just like Eve questioned Satan when it dealt with God. So Satan comes along and he says, you shall not eat of every tree. And what Satan was saying was, you shall not eat. Are you sure that's what God meant? Are you really sure that you're not supposed to eat from that? You don't understand what God is saying. So what Satan said was, lest ye die. And what he was saying was, you will not die. You know, think about this. You know, you eat of that fruit, it really looks good. Won't die. But what God was saying is, we're going to die spiritually. We're going to die physically later, but we're going to die separated from God for all eternity in the place called hell. But Satan comes along and questions it, putting questions in Eve's mind to think, oh, it's okay if I partake of this. Satan makes it sound okay and makes it really sound good. That's just the way Satan is. So Satan also goes along and says, for God doth know. And what Satan really meant was, God's not telling you everything. You know, you're not thinking this through. He's questioning. And then we also have, your eyes will be opened. And Satan was saying, you cannot see all things now, but one day you will. So Satan is questioning God, and Eve is swallowing it. You will be like God. And what he was saying is, you do not have all your potential yet, but one day you're going to have all of it. You're going to have all your power if you just follow me, knowing good and evil. And Satan was basically saying, you do not know everything, but one day you will. So the Bible says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so Satan was tempting Eve the same way we're tempted today. We question authority. We question those who lovingly try to guide us, and we question them, and we choose the wrong direction, and we get ourselves into trouble, just like Eve did. So this is just helping us to think this through. So look at this. Number one, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the lust of the flesh, oh, that really looks good, Eve said. That fruit looks delicious. And then the lust of the eyes, oh, she can see it, and she says, I want it. And then last of all, the pride of life. I deserve this. This belongs to me. And we partake of it, and we get ourselves into trouble. Like Eve partook of it and she died. Not physically that day, but she died spiritually that day. Her relationship with God was destroyed. Eve. And then, of course, Adam, because Adam partook of it at the same time. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but we do know that Eve and Adam did partake of it, and that's the way it all started. So, yep, it's kind of what if question. This is the way it happened, so this is our circumstances. Yep. So Adam and Eve partook of the fruit. And as a result, Adam is the head of the human race. And because he's the head of the human race, all men are born in sin. So that's what we need to understand. Okay? Letter B, the curse. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. It tells us that the serpent, in Genesis verse 14 and Genesis verse 15, tells us his curse. He's cursed above all cattle and beasts. So he was a serpent, he was a snake, and he was cursed. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and see, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So some believe that at one point, serpents or snakes had legs, but because Satan used the serpent, he was cursed, and he was cursed to crawl over on his body for the rest of his life. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So Satan was cursed because he tricked Adam and Eve into partaking of the fruit that God told him not to. That was the first curse. Genesis 3:14 says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's a lot of truth there. The fact that Satan is going to give Christ a blow to the heel, which is his death on the cross, but Christ is going to give Satan a head blow. One day he is going to fall. He is going to fall. Yes? Real quick. You have your book? Are you filling it in? Okay, go quick. Go quick. Cameron, are you filling your book in? Got your pen? Well, jump up. Did you fill those in already? Okay, here we go. Let's go to the next one. Letter D, enmity between thee and the woman. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's given reference to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross, and he's going to overcome Satan, that he's going to give us hope. That he is going to die on the cross, a heel blow, that is going to give Satan a head wound. And a head wound is fatal. It is fatal. You could die from a head wound, and Satan is going to fall. He is going to go down. We are going to be victorious. We're going to win over Satan's devices and his schemes and his evil ways. We are going to win, and that's what it's talking about. That he shall bruise thy head, that's Satan, but Satan will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Number two, the woman. So Satan was cursed. The serpent was cursed to crawl on the ground. He was going to lose his legs. But what happened to the woman? What was her curse? Letter A, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. There will be sorrow in bearing children, all as a result of sin.
And then B, thy desire shall be to thy husband. He will be the head of the home. He will rule over the woman.
And then number three, the man. What happened? What was the curse for the man? He was cursed. God cursed the ground for thy sake. In other words, now we have weeds that we have to pull. And we're going to have to work hard, till the ground, pick up rocks, get rid of the weeds. And even after we plant, for some reason, weeds seem to grow up faster than the plants that we planted. And so man has to continually dig those weeds out, because if you don't, those weeds are going to suck in all the moisture and all the everything in the ground and the water, the moisture and the ability to grow. It's going to be sucked up by the weeds, so we have to constantly pull them. And that was a part of the curse. And then in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. That's the same thing. We're going to have to pull weeds and work hard to plant the ground and to see things grow. It's going to take work. You can't just slough off. You cannot procrastinate. You have to work hard on it in order for it to produce the fruit that you want. And then see, unto dust shalt thou return. In other words, Adam, you're going to die. You are going to die. We're all going to die because of sin, and the sin that we are born with. That's devastating, isn't it? All because Adam and Eve partook of a fruit that God told them not to. They disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, all men have become sinners, each and every one of us. And it's all because of Adam's choice in partaking of the fruit that God told him not to. See, the consequences. What was the consequence? So you probably heard the story that God comes down and says, Adam, where are you? He was hiding because he sinned, right? He sinned, and so he was hiding, and God was calling his name, Adam, where are you? And finally Adam and Eve come out, and he realizes that they partook of the fruit, and he goes to Adam and says, Adam, what did you do? And he said, well, the woman, she's the one who convinced me to partake of it. And so God goes to the woman and says, what did you do? And so the woman says, well, it's Satan's fault. Satan's the one that caused me to fall. And so God goes to Satan, and Satan did not have a leg to stand on. That was a joke. You're going to have to think about it for a while. Yes. What's that? Did God do what to sin? What's that? What's that? Did God smush who? The serpent? No. No, he just cursed him where he has to crawl on his belly and eat the dust of the ground. The serpent. Yep. But see, right away, when Satan sinned against God, God kicked him out of heaven. So he lives in our atmosphere where the clouds and the stars are, and then later he's going to be kicked down to the earth in the middle of the tribulation. So, and then Satan is going to be cast into the bottomless pit, and then finally to the lake of fire for all eternity. Because Christ is going to give him a head blow, and that head blow was him dying on the cross and rising from the grave. Okay? Here we go. The Lord made coats of skin. So the very first death, was God killing a sacrifice in order to put clothes on Adam and Eve. That's the very first death. God took the life of, we don't know if it was a goat, if it was a cow, an ox, or whatever it might be, but God took the life of that animal so that Adam and Eve could have clothes, because they recognized that they were naked and that they needed clothes. And so he put clothes on them, and that was the very first death. So Adam and Eve, for the first time, understood what a sacrifice was and understood death, all because of sin. Yes. No. Prior to the, well, yes, because they were ashamed, they put leaves on, you're right. But then later, God killed an animal to put clothes on them, to put skin. Okay? So you're right, yeah. But prior to the fall, they did. They weren't ashamed at all prior to the fall. But then at the fall, then they were ashamed. Number two, clothed both Adam and Eve. So first Adam gave death. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then the last Adam, though, the last Adam brought life. The last Adam brought life. So how many of you have a Bible? How many of you have a Bible? You all have a Bible? Here we go. Here's the reward. Here's the reward. Put your Bibles up. Bibles up. Bibles up. And I'm going to say the reference, and then you say it with me. And then I'll say the reference again and go. And the first one to find it, stand up and read it. Listen. Listen. The first one to find it, stand up and read it. And I'll give you a piece of candy. Here it is. Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12, go. Yep, very good. All right, very good. So what's the result of sin? Whoa. What's the result of sin? What does that verse say? What does the verse say? Death, you're right. Susan got it. It's death. There you go. All right. Bible's up. Bible's up. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Go. Go ahead. Yep. Listen. So in Adam all what? Died, but in Christ he brought, did you catch it? Life. Very good. So Adam brought death. He's the one that made the choice to sin against God. There you go. He's the one who made the choice not to obey God and do what God told him to do. So, because we are all descendants of Adam, in Acts 17:26. So, Acts 17, Bible's up. Acts 17:26, verse 26, go. Huh? Hi. Go ahead, Susan. I saw her. Well, I saw her because I was looking the wrong way. But he already got one, so we'll let Susan go. Yep, Acts 17:26. Very good. So made everyone on the world one blood. We all come from Adam and Eve. Thank you. We're all one blood. All of us have come from Adam and Eve. Each and every one of us. Nobody in this world exists outside of Adam. So here's the next one. Point two. Illustrations from Scripture. So here's the fact. Listen up. Here's the facts. We all came from Adam and Eve. We all made the choice to sin against God.
Adam was our federal head, and because he was the head of the human race, and when he sinned against God, all men are sinners. So nobody could look up at God and say, you're unfair. Why did you cause this to happen? Because God's not the one who caused it to happen. Man is. We made the choice to sin. We made the choice to go contrary to God's laws and God's precepts. And because we did that, we've all sinned against God, and the result of that is death. So when terrible things happen in the world today, it's not God's fault. It's man's fault. We made the choice. We made the choice to sin against God. We cannot blame God and say, God, why did you bring sin into the world? Because he didn't bring sin into the world. Man did. Man made the choice. So nobody can look up in God and say, God, it's your fault. Why did you do that? Because he didn't. You did. You made the choice. So why do men suffer today? Because of sin. And so who do we go to trust in? The Lord, who helps us to defeat sin and to be victorious. Because of sin, there are consequences. And the consequence, God never promises to take the consequences away. But he does promise that if we trust in his Son, the only begotten Son, we're going to have victory. We're going to rise again. We're going to spend eternity with him. But it's our choice. We could choose to accept Christ as our Savior, or we could choose to reject him. And if we choose to reject him, we're going to spend eternity in hell. We have free choice. We have a choice. If we don't have a free choice, we cannot be condemned for our sin. We have a choice. We have a free choice. And that free choice is either to decide to serve and to trust him or to reject him. But if we choose to reject him, you're going to receive the consequences, because sin deserves and demands consequences. So when we ask the question, why do the just suffer? It's because of sin. It was our choice. We made the choice. So let me share with you some individuals who saw those consequences. We want to look at Noah. Noah was a man who walked with God. And that's what we need to do too. We need to learn to walk with God. We need to realize that God's the one that we should trust in. Because the story of Noah is found in the book of Genesis chapter 6. And when we look at Noah's walk with God, first of all, Noah walked in the same direction. Look in Genesis chapter 6, and I'll read this for us. Genesis, see if I can find it. Genesis chapter 6. I need to find it. My Bible, I have it marked. Here it is. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And you know, that's the same thing we need to do. Even in a corrupt world, a world filled with sin and death and disease and anguish, a world that is destroyed by sin, one could either look at God and decide to reject him, or he can look up to God and choose to walk with him. And Noah was a man who walked with God. And you know, in order to walk with God, you have to be headed in the same direction. You cannot walk with God and walk two different directions, right? If somebody's walking that way and God's walking that way, are you going to be walking with God? No, you're going in two different directions. So in order for Noah to walk with God, there had to have been a time in his life when he repented of his sin and he turned from his sin and looked to God. That's what repent means. Repentance means a change of direction. And if we remain in our sin and we keep going the direction we're going, we're going to spend eternity in hell. And that's what Noah realized. So Noah turned around. He turned around and he looked to the Lord. He wasn't stubborn. He wasn't defiant. He turned around and trusted in the Lord. Salvation. He walked in the same direction. He chose to walk with God. And that's the question in our lives too. We live in a world of death, disease. We live in a world of anger. We live in a world that chose to reject God. But Noah chose to walk with God. And that's what we need to do too. We need to choose to walk with him. Sin has consequences. Things happen because of sin. We have loved ones who make bad decisions. We have friends who make bad decisions, and their lives are destroyed because of it. That should help us to focus on what did God do? What did God do? God brought hope. And so Noah was a man who walked with God. Are we walking with God? That's a really good question. Are we walking with him? Are we choosing to go the direction of this world? And we know what's going to happen to the world. Same thing that happened to Satan. Oh, yes, he's going to fall. He's going to crawl on his belly. And one day he's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because he chose to defy God and go the wrong direction. But not only did Noah walk in the same direction, but he also walked to the same destination. You know, there are people today who try to tell God where and what direction to go. They say, hey, you know, we need to go this way. But God says, no, I want you to do this. Noah was a man, and that's the word sanctification. Sanctification refers to how close we are to him and how we want to live for him and to serve him with all of our hearts and all of our lives. We're set apart for his glory, set apart to do what God wants us to do and to live for him. So not only was he headed the same direction, but he was also headed for the same destination. Could you think of Noah? Here's Noah, and God tells him, I want you to build an ark. But Noah says, no, I don't want to build an ark because I get seasick. I want to build a high tower. You know, if I build a tower high enough and we could crawl up in that tower and the water won't reach us. But God said, no, I want you to build an ark. And Noah says, no, I get seasick. I want to build a tower. Well, Noah could have done that. But that wouldn't be the same destination God wants for him. God said, I want you to build an ark for the purpose of saving the lives of all the animals on the world and for those individuals on the ark. Remember who was on the ark? There was Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives. There are eight people, and that's it. That's all. Can you imagine that Noah never had a single convert for 120 years? The only people on the ark was his family. Man, that's quite a missionary, isn't it? You think, wow. But the world was rebellious against God. They defied him. They hated him. They said, no, there's no God. He didn't create this world. We're going to do what we want to do. And you know what happened to them? They all died. They all died because they chose to rebel against God. Now, I hope that's not what you're doing. I hope your heart isn't so hard that you do not care about God at all. That your heart is so hard that you don't want to follow him or live for him. That's the way it was in Noah's day. That's the way it was in the past. The question is what about you? Are you willing to walk with him? Yes, sin brought disease and all these wicked things, but it's not God's fault. It's yours. We're the ones who made the choice. So now we have another choice. Are we going to live for him and defeat sin? Are we going to choose to ignore him and go our own direction? So not only did Noah walk with God, and he walked to the same direction, walked to the same destination, but he also walked in step. You know, if you're not walking in step, pretty soon you're no longer walking together. If God is walking faster than you are, and you're walking slow, you're walking behind God, hoping he doesn't turn around and see the sin that we're living. Or maybe we're trying to walk ahead of God, hoping that we can show him the direction we want to go. No, we need to walk in step. We need to walk in step. We need to head to the same direction, the same destination, and walk in step. And I think of doctrine that way. Because there are people in the world today, their doctrine is so messed up that they're not really walking with him. Like the doctrine of the deity of Christ. If Christ is not God, he cannot be your Savior. Or maybe the pre-trib rapture. We got that all messed up, and our doctrine is all misplaced because of our beliefs and misunderstanding of his word. We want to walk in step with God, believing that God's word is true, that it is the inspired word of God, and we cherish it, and we love it, and we want to serve him with all of our hearts. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's look at the next one. Noah's walk with God. Noah walked with God in the middle of rebellion, in the midst of construction, and in the morn of destruction.
in the middle of rebellion, Noah said, I'm going to walk with God. And don't we live in rebellion today? People all around us don't believe that God created this world. All people all around us don't believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God and that we can trust it and believe it. So even in the midst of all that rebellion, Noah chose to follow God. Chose to walk with God, right? Noah's a great example. Noah walked with God. Are we walking with God? And then also, in the midst of construction, could you imagine how much the world picked on and made fun of Noah? Noah, they said, Noah, why are you building this boat? It's never rained before. Noah, there's not enough water in this world to float that boat. Noah, you are one French fry short of a Happy Meal. You're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Noah, you're crazy. But even in the midst of all that ridicule and making fun of him, Noah still walked with God. No, doesn't that kind of relate to us today? Don't we have people in the world today mocking us and making fun of us because we go to a Christian school? You know, the world around us, they deny what God's word says. But even in the midst of all that, Noah chose to walk with God. And you know, we should do the same. And then number three, in the morn of destruction. You know, when it started to rain, the Bible tells us God shut the door. God shut the door. And when it started to rain, I bet everybody in the world came running to the ark. And they probably started knocking on the ark door. Noah, it's raining. You're right. Noah, you're right. God is going to destroy this world. Will you let us in, Noah? Come on, let us in. And Noah couldn't open the door. God shut it. And all those people outside the ark all died because of their sin. And even in the midst of all that, Noah chose to walk with God. He said, I believe what God says, and that God's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. It says in verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. God shut the door, and Noah chose to obey God and chose to live for him. Even in the midst of construction, even in the midst of destruction, Noah chose to walk with God. And all those examples are true in our lives today. We look at the world around us. Oh, we can choose to do what the world wants us to do, or we can choose to stand up and walk with God. Choose to live for him in all that we do. Because you see, it's not God's fault that men suffer. It's not God's fault that all these terrible things happen. It's our fault. We made the choice. We chose to sin against God. It's not God's fault. God didn't bring sin into the world. Man did. And why do we suffer? Because it's the consequences of our sin. We cannot blame God for it. God's not the blame. God's not the one who caused it. Man is. We made the choice. We chose sin rather than God. Then we also have the example of Job. Of Job. Yep. This is a gut-wrenching experience. How many of you heard the story of Job? Yes, Job went through a lot of suffering, didn't he? He went through a lot of suffering. And I'm going to go through this really quick. You do not have any blanks to fill in, but I'm going to go over it really quick. Job had three friends. And his three friends had an idea of why Job was suffering. And it's the same idea that people in this world today have. Listen to all these reasons. Here we go. There's references. Job chapter 4, 5, 15, and 22. There is Job's reference or what he had to say. And then his friends Eliphaz the Temanite and Job. It says Eliphaz the Temanite says Job is suffering because he has sinned. Job's suffering because he's a sinner. Okay? And then his advice is, go to God and confess your sin to him in Job chapter 5, verse 8. So his first friend's name is Eliphaz, and Eliphaz the Temanite is saying, Job, you're suffering because of sin. But that's not the reason. It's the consequences of sin. And so he's saying, well, you need to repent of your sin. That's why you're suffering. But that's not necessarily true. And then there's also in Job 8, 18 and 25 is Bildad the Shuhite. Have you ever heard of who the shortest man in the Bible is? Well, it's Bildad because he's only a shoe height.
just a joke. Same thing that Peter slept on his watch. So he must have been very short to sleep on his watch, right? Job, the Buildite, the Shuhite, he says the reason for his suffering is Job won't admit his sin, so he's still suffering. And he tells him, how long will you go on like this? You need to repent. And then we also have Zophar, the Tamathite. He says Job's sin deserves even more suffering than what he has experienced. And get rid of your sin, Job. It's your fault. But you see, that's not always the reason. Our sin, you know, the last thing you should do is go to the hospital and say, oh, what did you do now? God's judging you. Because that's not always true. Sin has consequences, and it just sin in general. Might not be because of your specific sin. In fact, we know for a fact that Job went through this suffering because he was a just man. He was to be an example for all those around him and how to respond to suffering. So what did Job do? What carried Job through all this suffering? Well, we know it wasn't his finances because his finances are gone. We also know it's not because of his family, because all of his children died. And his wife even mocked him and said, you should curse God and die. So we know it's not his friends. We know it's not his family. And we know it's not his finances. So what kept Job going? What was it that Job focused on in order to make it through all that suffering? Well, here they are. In the Bible, we look at the truth of Job's suffering. And Job went through a lot of suffering. But in the book of Job, I read through the book of Job not too long ago, and I wrote down all the times that Job referred to an attribute of God. So Job, in the book of Job, focuses one time on God's omnipresence, that God is everywhere present. We can't go anywhere without God being there. Job 48 times focused on God's omnipotence, that God is all-powerful. There isn't anything that God cannot do. 8 times he focused on God's immutability. In other words, he's never changing. He's always the same. Today, yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. 22 times he focuses on his omniscience. And omniscient means that he's all-knowing. There isn't anything that God does not know. And then 6 times he focuses on God's holiness. So here we have Job. Throughout the book of Job, we know that God did not focus on his friends. He did not focus on his family. He did not focus on his finances. But what Job did focus on and what Job had to carry him through was the fact that his God was omnipresent. His God was omnipotent, all-powerful. That he was unchanging, immutable. That God was omniscient, all-knowing. There isn't anything that God does not know. And he focused on God's holiness. So what carried Job through all those trials? His God did. God's the one that helped him. So even in our lives today, when we go through suffering, or we go through times of frustration, and times when we are uncontrollable, that we could focus on God and what God has done for us, and that God's the one that will help us through. Like David said, I run to you like a high tower. I can trust in you. So the key is not to blame God for sin, because it's not God's fault. It's our fault. So what we need to do is focus on the attributes of God, that God is holy, that he's all-powerful, that he's all-knowing, that he's all-seeing. He sees our difficulties. He sees our sorrows. He hears our prayers. That brings a comfort, and that brings strength to carry on even through difficult times and through sorrow and through anguish. God has a plan. So what did Job focus on? He focused on God. And that's who we can focus on. So why do the just suffer? Yes, because of sin. But we have someone we could trust in, and that is God. Oh, man tries to trust in men and plans and banks and all kinds of stuff. But that's not what we should focus on. We should focus on God, right? We should focus on him because he's the one that's going to help us through. He's the one that's going to guide us, and we can rely upon him. So that's what Job focused on. Job didn't focus on his finances. He didn't focus on his family. He didn't focus on his friends. He focused on God. And as you read through the book of Job, that's where he focuses. And it's so exciting to look through Job and all those attributes that he gives reference to. And those friends of his, you know, who needs enemies, right? If you have friends like Job did, who needs enemies, right? Because they were frenemies. They were friends and enemies all at once. Frenemies. They were not friends at all. And they were the best of our enemies, but they weren't friends. They did not focus on what God wanted to be focused on. Okay?
And then the next one is Paul. Paul, and we think about his thorn in the flesh. His thorn in the flesh and God's response. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul is praying and asking God to take this thorn of the flesh from him. Some people think that it was his eyesight. Many times he said, I've written this letter in big letters. So some people think it's his eyesight. And some people believe that it's possibly his eyesight was so bad because he was stoned so many times. And he was left for dead. He was left in the ocean deep overnight. And there were terrible things that happened to Paul. And he prayed to God and said, God, will you please take this thorn in my flesh away? We don't know what it was, but scholars think it was because of his poor eyesight. And God told Paul, this is what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 2 Corinthians. Oop. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Do I have that right one? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorifying. Verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7 through 10. Where is that verse at? Oh, here it is, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God is saying to him, I'm not going to take that thorn in the flesh away. My grace is sufficient for thee. And we could take comfort in that too. That no matter what thorn in the flesh that we might think we have, that we can rely upon the grace of God. That my grace, his grace, is sufficient for thee. And then we also have the blind man. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 9. This man was born blind. John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 5. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? So back then they even had the idea. Well, the reason why people suffer, the reason why people have a thorn in the flesh is because they sinned. They're sinners. They sinned. So he asked, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him. So that man was born blind, not because he sinned, not because his parents sinned, but that the glory of God will be revealed. And that's the reason why they had that thorn in the flesh. So just because somebody has a thorn in the flesh, or because somebody's going through a difficult time, or somebody might have cancer, might not be their sin. It's just the fact that sin has consequences, and it might be for the glory of God. So we have here the disciples question him, who sinned? And the Savior's response was, nobody sinned. It was for the glory of God, that God might be glorified in all that is done and said.
Okay, that's letter D. Where are we on our notes? All right, one more. Number three, God's faithfulness revealed. God's faithfulness revealed. Okay, all right. Bible's up. Bible's up. Here we go. Two more treats. Okay, Bible's up. 1 Peter 3:17. And remember the second time you repeat with me? 1 Peter 3:17. 1 Peter 3:17. Go. Yes, Susan. Yes. So it is better for us to suffer for doing that which is good than doing that which is evil. In other words, sometimes it's God's will for us to suffer, and that the purpose of it is to draw us closer to Him. So 1 Peter 3 verse 17 says sometimes it's the will of God that we suffer. Sometimes it's His direct guidance and what takes place that we might be drawn closer to Him. So just like a believer who's not living for the Lord, a believer who's living in sin, God might come along and put suffering in that one's life to draw him back to Himself. Okay? Then the next one is 1 Peter 4:19. 1 Peter 4:19. 1 Peter 4:19. Go. Very good. Trusting faithfully in Him. So sometimes our suffering is due to the fact that sometimes it's the will of God and the direction of our life. What? Yeah. Stand up. Look in there. I think there's some up there on the top. Did one fall? There you go. And Susan gets one too. So being so fast. Almost have to memorize the books of the Bible in order to find it in a Bible drill, isn't it? Yes. So, can we blame God for sin? Yes or no? No, it's not God's fault. God's not the one who brought sin into the world. And so when something terrible happens and someone says, why did God allow that to happen? It's not His fault. He didn't do it. Man is. Something terrible happens. And the first thing they do is they blame God for it. But it's not God's fault. It's not His fault. Anybody have any blanks they need filled in? Check with a friend. You should have been filling it in as we're going. Check with a friend. It's not a test. And later on, I'll come through and sign them. Today, I'll come look at them and see where you are and see if we can get it all finished up. Okay? So can I have everybody's attention? Let's put the puzzle to the side. Close up your books. We're going to get ready to pray, and we will close. Oh, here's three things to think about. Listen, watch this. A lot of kneeling will keep you in good standings. What do you do when you kneel? You pray, right? So a lot of praying will keep you in good standings. How about this one? Worry is the dark room in which negatives are developed. That's an old phrase, because pictures used to be developed in the dark. If you had light on the negatives, then the picture will be destroyed. So the idea is worry is the dark room in which negatives are developed. And then God promises a safe landing, not a calm passage. So we know the ending. We know the ending. We know that we're going to win. So we can rely on the fact that Christ is going to be victorious, that we are going to win. We are going to win because Christ is going to win. One day we will rise from the tomb, from the grave, and spend eternity with Him. If we live for Him and serve Him and walk with Him like Noah did. Okay? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for today, this Bible study that we can look at, that will help us to focus on the fact that it's not Your fault that sin's in the world. It's man's fault. That's our choice. We made that choice, and we're going to bear those consequences. But Father, I pray that we can share the good news that Jesus Christ came to earth, that He died for our sins, and that if we trust in Him and accept Him as our personal Savior and walk with You, that we will spend eternity in heaven. Father, help us to focus on what's true and what's right, that we might live for You in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, anybody have any questions? Okay, you are dismissed. I'll come around a little bit later and sign your booklets.